This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Actress Cherry Jones has been called the High Priestess of New York Theater. She starred opposite Gabriel Byrne in the Broadway revival of Moon for the Misbegotten and won a Tony Award for her starring role in The Heiress. She's been featured in the films The Perfect Storm and Cradle Will Rock and now plays Buggy in The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood. She's currently at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia, starring in a musical adaptation of the classic Greek play Lysistrata. It's a co-production with the American Repertory Theater, which is affiliated with Harvard University. Jones was a founding member of ART. The director, Robert Brustein, wrote the adaptation. The music is by Galt McDermott, who wrote the songs for Hair. Lysistrata was written in the 4th century B.C. by Aristophanes. The story is set during the long war between Sparta and Athens. The women of Athens, led by Lysistrata, are tired of losing their fathers, husbands, and sons to the war. So they decide to go on a sex strike. No more sex with their husbands until the men decide to stop the war. Jones plays Lysistrata. Jones was never in a classical version of the play. In fact, she had never been a big fan of the play.
It was all Greek. You know, there were so many inside jokes true to the period, which was 420 B.C., but I think also it felt like a big drag show because, of course, you know, men were performing the women's roles.
Right.
And so the vulgarity was male vulgarity about women's parts, but plain women being vulgar, but with this fantastic utopian goal of ending war by this brilliant plan of withholding sex from the men. So the idea was terrific. But it seemed like the execution was very thin because it's a fantasy and it's a comedy and it's about something as universally sought after as the end of war in our time, but done in this completely bawdy, vulgar way. And I guess I couldn't figure out how we were going to be able to pull that off in the year 2002. And one thing that as women we found that we had to find a way to make the vulgarity female vulgarity and not male vulgarity. I think comedically you shoot yourself in the foot by having women play the women's roles. But since that was the given, then we had to figure out a way to try to make that work.
The first adaptation that you were given was written by Larry Gelbart, who wrote MASH and did the book for the musical A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
And Tootsie.
And Tootsie, yeah. And but that adaptation was thrown out, and another one was written. What was wrong with the Larry Gelbart version?
It was, Larry had added a lot of extra scenes, which I appreciated the attempt, but it was, it couldn't support its weight, and it was too long, and it just didn't hold our interest.
Did it have the same problem that you were talking about that you think Aristophanes had, which is that the sex talk sounded too male for a female to be saying?
Yeah. I mean, there are just certain vulgar words that women just shy away from, and in Larry's script, they were used the women were using them quite freely. And it certainly is not that we're prudes, because we're going out of our way to be as vulgar up there as we can and true to Aristophanes, but we had to find a way, as I said before, to make it believable as women. So we had to decide whether to go ahead and do a script that we could not figure out how to produce with people unhappy with each other, or start over from scratch with absolutely no time to write a book and compose the music and write the lyrics. And that's what we chose to do. We decided to dive off the cliff. And we were all desperate because we had to have a musical on the stage in 6 weeks, and we started with nothing except a very difficult 2,500-year-old sex comedy.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Cherry Jones, and she's currently starring in an adaptation of the ancient Greek play Lysistrata at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. You can also see her on screen in The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood. Has it been difficult at all to make the transition from stage to screen in terms of your voice or your gestures or facial expressions?
Well, I am learning each time I do it because I do such small roles. But I've talked to so many of my older friends about it. Frances Sternhagen, who has told me that it's all in the eyes, that's where the magic of the cinema is. It's in the actor's eyes. I had a wonderful meeting with Sidney Lumet once, who said that actors, especially theater actors, are always told not to do too much, not to be too big. He said, "You can swing from the rafters with a purple face if you mean it, if it's committed." So I think Mr. Lumet is right that as long as it's truthful and people buy it, you can do anything on camera.
You've said that you were a tomboy as a kid. Do you think that that's helped you in a way as an actress because you were physical and probably physically uninhibited?
Incredibly. I think it's also been good for my bones. They say that, there are all these new studies now about women and osteoporosis, and they say that if you're incredibly active as a young girl, that that's half the battle right there. I know as an actor it's been invaluable to me. I think I got to play as many of the great heroines as I've gotten to play because I was so active as a young girl. I've gotten to do sword fights as an actress and literally swing from, the top of the stage and fall into bodies of water on stage and climb to the tops of trees on stage, naked and in a bald pate, I might add. But there was a point when I thought, I was turning 40, that my physical theater years were behind me, and it so depressed me, but I'm going to push it till I'm 80.
My guest is actress Cherry Jones. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Cherry Jones. She's currently at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia, starring in a musical adaptation of Lysistrata, and she plays Buggy in the new film The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood. On Broadway, she starred opposite Gabriel Byrne in a production of O'Neill's Moon for the Misbegotten. We talked a little bit about what it's been like for you to go from stage to screen. I'm sure you've seen a lot of people, maybe even work with some people, who've gone from screen to stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to adapt themselves from, cameras and microphones to being in a large theater. What are some of the things you've observed watching them make the adaptation?
Gabriel had done a fair amount of theater before movies, Gabriel Byrne, but he hadn't done any stage work, I think, in about 18 years. So it was actually sort of painful to watch at first because he was so, I was going through a hard time. I was having a confidence crash, and he would just sort of softly mumble his lines in rehearsals. I mean, we looked like, a voyage of the damned in those rehearsals. It was, and he wasn't sleeping because he was having such a hard time learning the role, and it was, but then once he got on that stage and once there were people out there, with each performance the voice grew and, by the end, I mean, he's Irish. Come on. He was meant to be on a stage. And so he just took over once he had the room full.
What happens when you're doing something on stage and you're performing every night or nearly every night, a couple of matinees thrown in, and you're just not feeling great? Either your confidence is low or you're depressed for some reason, and you got to go out there and act like you don't feel the way you do.
Well, it had never been a problem for me, ever. If I felt lousy or I just have always so loved what it is I do that it was never I went to work and that's what I did and I had to be in a certain place and I would get myself there. Now, there's certain times when you haven't felt yourself and you've given the best performance you've ever given. And there are other times when you're absolutely on top of the world and you walk in and you give a lousy performance, maybe because you feel too good. Mm-hmm. And so you can't get to where you need to go. But when I went through this major confidence crash, which I think we all go through at some point in our lives, no matter what we do. It's just those of us who are in front of 1,000 people a night, one feels a little more vulnerable when it happens. And that was terrifying. I mean, I'm still battling it a little bit.
What was it about?
I think it was about a whole convergence of things. I started menopause at a ridiculously early age, especially when I was doing A Moon for the Misbegotten. I had seen Colleen Dewhurst and Jason Robards when I was 16, and it had changed my life. And, you know, I was treading with memories there that I probably shouldn't have gone near the play, because it's meant so much to me as a memory. And I don't know. I just think there's a point when you hit your middle years, we all like to be the underdog. We always like to have people come up to you and say, gee, I didn't know you could do that, and give you a pat on the back. And then you get to a certain age, and people expect you to be able to do it, and you just can't always, and especially in something that is subjective as the theater. You're going to be able to please some of the people some of the time. And I think it was just also that the bitter kiss of success. You know, success is a funny thing.
Why is it funny?
Well, because who was it? Someone said that from the height of success you can see the abyss. I don't know if that's the exact quote, but there is something to that. The morning after I won the Tony Award, I was so depressed, because I thought, now how is this going to change my life? I've had such a simple, pleasing career, and now this is somehow going to change it. And I was 38 years old. I wasn't a baby. I should feel that I had some control over what came next.
Let me ask you this. When somebody else wins a Tony or an Oscar, do you find yourself at home thinking, God, they must feel so good. I wish I could feel that good. They must feel so good. And then you win it yourself and you're really depressed.
What I thought you were going to ask in your insightful way, Terry, was do I look at those people and think, oh, bless their hearts, they don't know how they're going to feel tomorrow morning. Because that is more what I feel, especially with there's some of us who are just driven by ambition, and then there are others of us that just aren't. And I think when you find yourself suddenly on what can feel like a conveyor belt to sort of mass appeal, I don't know how else to put it. It's uncomfortable, and you just want to jump off, and you don't quite know how, because everything is geared to keep you on that conveyor belt, because people love to invest in people that they enjoy watching. And journalists do it. Suddenly, you're being hyped to the moon, which is completely unfair, you know. So I worry particularly about young people when it happens to them at such an early age. I don't know how they handle it.
Cherry Jones is my guest, and she's now co-starring in The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood, and she's currently in Philadelphia on stage at the Prince Music Theater in a new musical adaptation of the classic Greek play Lysistrata. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You grew up in a small Tennessee town called Paris, mm-hmm. Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Describe what the town was like when you were growing up.
Well, it was there was a little wonderful old courthouse and a downtown area that was still very much thriving. There were farmers who still came into town with wagons and horses. Not many, but a few left. This was the very early 60s. There were woods across our street and a lot of kids on our street, so we lived in the woods and the creeks. And our imaginations there was always a plot. We were cowboys or Indians, or we were GIs, you know, landing at Normandy, or we were women who had, you know, there'd been a plane crash over the Congo, or we were, you know, I mean, there was always something where it was about survival and creating a home, you know, creating a home in the woods. How would we survive? What would we eat? What would we, it sounds like that awful television show now, but you know, kids love to, and then we had to dress ourselves and leaves, and, you know, it was always, we were always doing something like that, and It was heaven. It was heaven. I had a dog named Lassie. I really did. Collie. It was actually a boy, but I didn't know. I was only four. And my parents were just exceptional people. My father had a flower shop on the courthouse square. My mother taught high school English, American, and English literature. And I have a younger sister who is the greatest storyteller that has ever been. And a wonderful person. They all three are still at home in Paris, so I get home as often as I can. I got to be the Grand Marshal of the world's biggest fish fry parade.
In 1995, you won a Tony for your performance in The Heiress. And it's a kind of famous story now, but when in your acceptance speech, you thanked your partner, Mary O'Connor. And for anyone who didn't know then, this was a very public coming out. Not that you were necessarily in the closet before, but you weren't also mounting the podium to to mention it either. How did you decide to say that in the speech? Was that a difficult process?
No, not at all. I never even decided. It just never would have occurred to me not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just the most natural thing in the world.
Do you think it's any different for a stage actor than a screen actor to be out? Because so many people in the movie industry who are gay or lesbian worry that if they came out, it would really hurt their ability to get roles. More people are starting to come out, but still I think there's a lot of fear there.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think it's easier for a predominantly stage actor, or is it the kind of thing you wouldn't care about one way or another?
Well, no, I think it's much easier for theater actors. I mean, ours is a profession rife with homosexuality. and people just, it's a much more tolerant. And you're not dealing with the masses. You're dealing with just a handful of folks each night that you've, it's a very intimate one-on-one experience. And for film actors, it's they're having to appeal to everyone in this country, regardless of what their religious or moral beliefs are. And so I hate that it's that way.
Yeah.
For those people, because it's very wearing on the soul.
Were you ever in the closet?
Nope. I mean, with my folks until I was about 25, I didn't want to tell them until they asked, because they're such exceptional people. I knew that they would know, and they would deal with it the way they needed to. And then when they asked me about it, then we would talk, and we'd all be ready to deal with it. And it was, of course, really difficult for them, as it is for all parents of gay people, because you, the first place we want for our children what we've known, mm-hmm. and what has brought us pleasure. So, but I never had to be, I never gave it a thought.
So you waited for your parents to bring it up. Can I ask how they brought it up?
Mama and I were sitting at the kitchen table about 1 o'clock in the morning talking about God and politics, and we're both Democrats. and I think because I'm gay, I became angry with the church when I was about 12 or 13, because that's when I really knew what I was. I was just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurt and angry. And I remember that night my mother said, out of the blue, as though we'd been talking about it for hours, she said, "Darling, do you just not like men, or do you have trouble with men?" And I said, "Mother, I love and adore men, but you know how much Judy means to me," which was the young woman I was living with at the time. And at that point, I broke down and sobbed. And Mother never shed a tear, because she'd spent the last 5 years sobbing, as she said, as though she'd been told her child had an incurable disease and was going to die. And it took many years after that amazing talk for my mother to not only come to terms with it intellectually, but also emotionally. My father came to a comfortable place with it much sooner. But I think that's often the case with especially gay women. Your mother is willing to share you with a man, but she's not willing to share you with another woman, because it's a kind of intimacy that women have with one another, just on a spiritual plane. That, I mean, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so blessed to have these three family members who I knew were all going to be together through thick and thin, no matter what.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Terry. I've enjoyed it greatly.
Cherry Jones is currently starring in a musical adaptation of Lysistrata at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. This is Fresh Air.